is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, and can be found on page 1132. It's about peace and hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in a hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15, and that's on page 1984 in your Bibles. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And this is the word of the Lord.
As we invite John up to for our sermon, we pray. Sovereign Father, we thank you for the words you've put on John's lips and ask that you open our minds, bodies and souls to all that he has to say from you. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, it's Father's Day. Suppose Easter Day will be Jesus' Day, and last week will be Spirit's Day. So it's today, Trinity is today, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's make the most of Trinity by talking about God today as Father, Son, and Spirit. A lot of people have trouble with the Trinity, understanding it, and there are churches set up that used to be Christian churches who are now called Unitarian churches, who only believe that there's one God, and they don't believe that Jesus is God. And there are other churches as well that believe that. Therefore, there's only the true Christian church that believes in the Trinity. And other churches will say to you, but the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Well, the word vicar's not in the Bible. Shall I go now? Trinity is a word to describe what is there throughout the Bible. And certainly in both of our readings this morning, we heard that God sent Jesus, that Jesus is going to arrange for the Holy Spirit to live in our hearts that might recognize the power and person of God. So there's no question that the Trinity is there. And then, of course, when Jesus commissioned the church at the end of Matthew's Gospel, he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember, I am with you to the very end of the age. How can Jesus, God, be with us to the end of the age when he's up there in heaven? Answer, he is also the Holy Spirit who is in us now. So it all works together if you can understand it. But it's difficult to understand, isn't it? Yes. See, I told you it was. Now, you see, the thing is, there's a story about a bishop who was visiting a theological college. And as he was walking around, all the students who were sitting there reading at their desks said to one of them, son, can you explain the Holy Trinity? And he said, bishop, that's a complete mystery. And the bishop said, good, carry on. Because it is. But a mystery in gospel terms is not something that can't be explained, because mysteries in the Bible are those that are explained by Jesus. There is nothing hidden that will not be made known, said Jesus. Okay? So let's look at the Trinity. Somebody came to Jesus and said, now this is a massive thing for somebody to say to Jesus, but he wanted to sort of convince Jesus that he knew what he was talking about. So he said, and which do you think, Jesus, is the greatest commandment? Matthew 12:29. Jesus responded, the greatest commandment is this: the Lord God, the Lord is one. And you should love. That's all he needed to say. God is one, God is love. But he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, and strength, and love everybody else in the way you love yourself. Yes? That was the great commandment. And this chap very gently agreed with Jesus. But what they didn't concentrate on was why Jesus said that word, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Is God one or is God three? The answer is, I believe Jesus, God is one. Then where did it come from that we talk about the three? Now, when I talk about the three, I don't want you to break God into three. When I was young, really young, I was sort of technical, and I used to try to find out how things worked. And the way to do it is to pull them apart and put them back together again. Well, I was very, very good at the first part. And it was difficult to put it back together again. And over the last 2,000 years, we've been so focused on praying to God as Father, praying to Jesus as his Son, praying to the Holy Spirit in our hearts, that God has become three, and we find difficulty putting him back together again. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. Okay? And I don't think it's heretical, but here goes. Obviously, there is one God. Complication, as God was making anything, the Spirit of God was moving over the waters. God is Spirit, and we should worship him in spirit and in truth. Agreed? Yes. But then God said, let us make mankind in our image. So there is some sort of plurality with God in some way or other. Okay? But let's just admit that God is one to begin with. God made the earth and he gave us free will and said, get on with it. Just enjoy life. That's what life is for, joy. Go forth and multiply. Look after the earth. You have my free will to do anything you like so that you can enjoy life. Without free will, you wouldn't be able to enjoy life. You'd be automatons. So just go on and enjoy life. But God knew at the time that if he gave mankind free will, it wouldn't be many minutes before they'd make a mess of the place. But even as he was saying, go and have free will, he knew that there would be a need for a savior. And the Protevangelium, the first time, that's Latin for the first demonstration of the gospel, is in Genesis 3:15, when he promised to crush the serpent's head. And so on. From there on, we get things in the Psalms, in Isaiah, and so on. Many, many books all say, I am your only savior. Without God, there is no savior. My own hand will save. Well, obviously, mankind can't save mankind from its sinful nature any more than a fish can catch itself, put it in a pan and serve itself up for dinner. You know, you need people to catch fish, which is what Jesus said. So God needed to save mankind. How was he going to do it? He couldn't do it from the kingdom of heaven. God had to do it himself in the physical world. Do you believe in the virgin birth? Well, I do. We know now what they didn't know then, 2,000 years ago, that all God had to do was come in his Holy Spirit into the body of a young woman and change part of the contents of one cell in her body for Jesus to be born, God in human form. If you don't believe that God can change one part of one cell in your body, what on earth do you pray for? Yeah? Right. And that's what he did. And therefore, as God grew in Jesus, Jesus claimed, stated, confirmed that he is God on earth. How many times did he say, I am? I am the true vine. I am the bread of life, which we celebrate today. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am is the holy name of God, which the Jews knew from antiquity, God given to Moses, yes? And he also said, before Abraham was, I am. How plain can he be that I am God? Yes? Right, so he is God. And then in John 14 he says, I and the Father are one. And then he also says, I and the Father will be in you. So the Father and Jesus will be in us. How is that possible? Answer, because God is spirit. And God lives in us, in his spirit. That one God. Simple as that. So when you're praying, you know the songs, we've done it before. I think I've said these words before. Father God, I wonder how I manage to exist without a knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. You're praying to God, yes? Jesus Christ, I think about your sacrifice. You're praying to Jesus. Why to pray to Jesus? Because you understand a human being. And you know that he understands you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Yes, pray to the Spirit and say, fill me day by day, moment by moment. Give me the power that you have. It's all valid. You're praying to one God. So where does the Trinity come in? Well, you talk to God in the way that you relate to God. If you're thinking of Jesus and the fact that he has lived a life like you, gone through more than you ever can. You can relate to Jesus. Pray to him. If you want to pray to God as Father, because you are a father or you ever had one, and that's probably most of us, yeah? Then pray to the Father. Pray to the Spirit and in the Spirit as well. It's too simple to say, I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus through the Spirit. That's too simple. And it's also too simple to say, well, God's always in heaven. He sent Jesus to earth, but he's now back there. And there's only the Spirit now in us. That is too simple. Yes, it's true. But you know, we need to grow. And remember in our first reading, we heard Jesus say the night before he died, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. More than they could bear at the time, more than they could understand at that time about God. That's why he said those things. Now, if I'd given my title for the sermon, I have much more to say to you, you'd expect this sermon to go on for weeks. Yes? It won't, eventually. But Jesus knew that there's a limit to our understanding, which is why we deal with simple things such as God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But what we need to think of is God is one, as Jesus said, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes? So know that God is one. God is spirit. Jesus is God. And that the one true God lives in you as spirit. Isn't that wonderful? It really, really is. But quite often people have illustrations of the Trinity. You must have heard a few of them. Yes? Illustrations that explain what the Trinity is like. Ice, water and steam. H2O in three forms. Yes? That's actually heretical. Because it can only exist in one form at one time. You get the picture? It's either water, ice, or steam, depending on the external temperature. Well, external factors can't relate to God. Sorry. Right. Another one. Neapolitan ice cream. Three flavors in one box. No. Yes, you can choose who you pray for, choose who you get, but actually you're getting all three at once because there is only one. And they don't have different flavors, I'm telling you that for nothing. What about a three-leaf clover? Three petals on one stem. I like that. But you can pull them apart just as easily as you can pull the Trinity apart. So that's not going to work, is it? So I thought, have I got an illustration? I can't resist this. I've got my own illustration. You ready for this? Right. No, you're not, but you're getting it. I used to work for a bank. 35 years I did. Half of the years were spent in branches, and the last 17 or 18 years were actually in head office. So I know all about head office. And when I used to go down to the branches, I can tell people what head office is like because I've been there and actually I belong there. You with me? You understand about Jesus coming and saying that? Right, you're with me now. Once upon a time, in the beginning, banks were formed by people in coffee houses exchanging bills of exchange, promissory notes. And eventually, they thought, no, this is a business, we need a building. So there was a head office. Well, just the one office, actually. And the bankers worked in that one office and ran everything from there. And if you wanted anything, like checks, money, etc., you had to go to the bank, wherever it was, a long distance probably. And then they thought, actually, we need to work incarnationally. We need to be where the people are. So banks opened branches. And when people said, I'm going to the bank, they weren't. They were going to the branch. But actually, the branch is the bank. Because the manager there has all the authority given to him in the name of the bank. You with me then? Right. So when you go to the bank, you're actually going to the branch. But you have gone to the bank because there is only one bank. Just the one. Right. What's happening these days? They're closing branches, aren't we? If you go to Marksday Station and then go to Sudbury, go before September because that's when they're closing NatWest in Sudbury. Okay? Why are they closing it? Well, actually, they say you can do a lot more online than you could in a branch. You can actually sort out your cash. It's immediate. You can see your balance. You can get a statement. You can even order things. Yeah, it's all, and you can do it now, right this minute. You can do even greater things than that because you're now online. Jesus said, you can do greater things than I am doing because I'm going to the Father. Now, that's a difficult phrase to understand. But the answer is, because by sending the Holy Spirit, we're now online. And by prayer, we have that available. So there we are. We are a branch, if you like. And we will stay. But there is one God wherever you find him. Isn't that great? Would you like me to finish with another Trinity? Because we had the other reading, didn't we? From Romans. And what I'd like to do is just quickly tell you about another Trinity. And this is Romans 5. And yes, it speaks of, therefore, since we've been justified by through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us, yes. But there are three other words in here. And I'm going to read it. And I'm going to speak it in red, underline it in bold. So you'll get the three words, okay? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glorify in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What are the three words? Faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 might even be read at somebody's wedding before long. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Why is great? Why is love the greatest, do you think? And why those three? Well, I've just told Oldham, so you might as well find out. Ian has no need for faith anymore. Because he revealed to him has been all the fullness that faith could ever know. Ian has no need for hope anymore because he has achieved everything that could possibly be hoped for in the kingdom of heaven. But love remains because he is living now in the love of God, because God is love. Agreed? So may that comfort us as we also grieve for Ian. And to prove that, here's a little ditty what I wrote, which I shall now sing to you. Faith, hope and love, faith, hope and love, faith, hope and love, but the greatest is love. One day faith will be no more, for all will be revealed. One day hope will be no more, for all will be achieved. But love will last forevermore, for that's what we've believed. For God is love. Amen. Amen.